بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So Tuesdays we normally have Sira classes, and we have reached the point of the first Hijra to Abyssinia, to Habasha. And that's where we stopped. So inshallah ta'ala, we will resume it next week from where the, you know, the, from the point of the Hijrah, and to see how the Hijrah was, not only how it was conducted, who went on the Hijrah, what was the purpose of it. If it was simply people who were afraid, you know, and wanted to protect their deen, how come only certain people who went to Al-Habasha? So these are the things that we will discuss, inshallah ta'ala, next time. We will, you know, and take some lessons, inshallah ta'ala, for us. Walaykum as-salam. But today I would like to just to present, you know, a small reminder. I am not sure how long it's going to take, but it's just a reminder. I ran across, really, last week, I was listening to a lecture, and brother who was giving it, the sheikh who was giving it, attributed a statement to Ibn al-Qayyim Jawziyah, rahimahullah. And he said that, and the title of it is Al-Khawafi Min Al-Khawafi, the hidden ones for the hidden ones. The hidden ones for the hidden ones. And so Ibn al-Qayyim said, and I really could not, I looked for the book where he said this, I could not find. But I looked at on the web, there are several sites, they all cite the same statement attributing it to Ibn Qayyim. But whether Ibn Qayyim said it, did not say it, whether I found it or not, still I think it's worth reflecting upon. He said, Rahimahullah, هَلْ لَدَيْكَ خَوَافِي مُؤْلِمَاتِ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Do you have any things that are not known, anything that's paining to you, anything that is painful to you, anything that's uncomfortable, any hidden problems that nobody knows but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then he said, اجعل لهن خوافي صالحات لا يعلمهن إلا الله. Then if you have these hidden problems, these hidden turbulences, these hidden pains that you have, then it makes sure that you have hidden righteous deeds no one knows about but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So, and that's the end of the statement of Ibn Qayyim, or what's attributed to Ibn Qayyim. So, your sickness that nobody knows but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of us are sick, have certain sicknesses that nobody knows about but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know? Then make sure that you give a sadaqah a hidden sadaqah, a hidden act of charity, no one knows but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Dawu mardakum bis sadaqah. And Albani said there's a hadith Hassan, fi sahih al-jami'. So he said, Dawu mardakum bis sadaqah. Treat the sick ones amongst you with a charity. And you can treat yourself with sadaqah, with charity. And the best charity, as we will come to see, is what? Is the hidden charity. Meaning that the one nobody knows about. And in Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also in the hadith that's reported by Tabarani, صَنَائِعُ الْمَعْرُوفِ تَقِي مَصَارِعَ السُّوءِ. صَنَائِعُ الْمَعْرُوفِ, that doing righteous deeds, good things to others, you know, will protect you from harmful things. And he said, he continues, عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَصَدَقَةُ السِّرِّ, and the charity in hiding, in secret, where nobody knows what you have given, تُطْفِئُ غَضَبَ الرَّبِّ, it puts out the anger of the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have troubles, alham. Alham, by the way, is if you're worried about the future. Alham is different, let's say, from al-huzn, is different from al-gham. Al-gham, you're worried about something that's present, you're experiencing. So your chest becomes heavy. You know, you feel uncomfortable, you feel sad, that's maghmum, that's a person who has gham. Ilham is what will happen tomorrow. I have to repay my rent. I don't have money. I need to go to work, but my car is broken. You know, my son is traveling, my daughter, my wife, my, you know, something or the other. You have the ahem, the concern, the troubling concern about the future. And that ham, that concern that you have, no one knows but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do you do? Then seek the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do istighfar in hiding, in secret, that so that no one hears but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have that gham, you're worried about the problem that you are, you know, you are experiencing it, then pray to rak'ah at night. Pray to rak'ah at night alone, that no one sees but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And listen to the tasbih and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you have something that you're experiencing right away. Allah ta'ala says, وَذَا النُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَنْ لَنْ نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And the noon, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi, Yunus alayhi salam, you know, when he left and thinking that no one will be able to reach him, فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ, and he called in the darkness, says, أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ, he's in the belly of the whale. فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ, in the darkness, says, La ilaha illan, there is none worthy of worship but you. Subhanak, praise be you, praises be to you. Inni kuntum al-zalimin, amongst the transgressors. Fastajabna lah. Immediately that dua required got what? A response. Fastajabna lah. Wanajjaynahu min al-gham. And we saved him from the calamity or from the problem that he was experiencing. Wa kadhalika nunji al-mu'minin. That's how we save the believers. How do we save the believers? By the tasbih, by the istighfar, by the returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just like that, everything that troubles us, we should go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secret. And in for every problem that no one knows but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do something in secret that no one knows but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And always with the full confidence, the fiqh, the confidence, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the problem and will take away the problem for you. Why is the ibadah, why is the dua, why is the tasbih, the istighfar, the sujood, the ruku', why should it be in secret? Why should it be that in seclusion or isolation from the people? This is how you know that your ibadah is based or wrapped with sincerity. If you want to know that it has ikhlas, you know, we are humans. We are humans. And whenever we do something in front of the people, there is always part of it that feeds into your own personal ego. You can intend it, you cannot intend it, you can minimize it, you can, you know, but there's always a portion, بِالنَّفْسِ فِيهِ نَصِيب, there's always something that goes for your ego, you know, but when you do things by yourself, when you recite Quran al-Kareem by yourself, when you make the sujood at night, when nobody's hearing you, nobody's seeing you, nobody's watching you, you are only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, those kinds of acts where the sincerity in it becomes much more than when you give sadaqah and nobody knows about it. You are in the market in the middle of nowhere. You know, you're passing by and you see some, you know, a person asking for help. Nobody knows you, you don't know anybody, and you give. It's very different from you giving when you give it in the masjid and everybody knows who you are and everybody's seen you before. It's very different sadaqah, very different impact on the act itself. And the people who do these things with sincerity, the people who do things in separation, in you know, by themselves, without the watchful eye of the people, those are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filled their hearts with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then even the corners of their hearts were filled with the khashya, with the fear, with the love, with the eagerness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are the ones really who deserve the most reward. So this is what the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always seeking. to purify their actions. Look for actions that are not mandatory, not the fard. We're talking about the nafil. We're talking about the two raka'ah in the middle of the night. We're talking about the istighfar. We're talking about dua, where you by yourself alone asking Allah Ta'ala, you know, and crying to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. That purifies the person, that cleanses the person, so that no one knows about it but Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Hypocrites cannot do this. Al-Munafiqoon cannot do this. You know, if you want to know whether you have hypocrisy or not, see the worship that you have in what you do in front of the people and what you do by yourself. You know, hypocrites cannot do this. Al-Munafiqoon, they are all, they're doing it. What? وَإِذَا قَامُوا لِلصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَ يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ. If they get up for salah, they get up with laziness. يُرَاءُون. Why are they doing it? So that they can be seen. Okay, we're praying. Look how I'm praying. But now if they are by themselves, they will not, they might not even pray altogether. You know? So this is always the secret, that when you are alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what shows the true metal of the person. And the best of the things, the best kinds of ibadat, generally speaking, there are exceptions. Generally speaking, the best kind of ibadat are the ones that are done in secret. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in tubdu sadaqati fani'imma hi. If you show the sadaqah, when you give the donation, you give the sadaqah. If you show it, fani'imma hi, it's acceptable, it's good. Fani'imma hi. Wa in tukhfuha, but if you hide it. Wa tu'tuha al-fuqara, and you give it to the poor. Fahuwa khayrun lakum, it is better for you. Now, not only khayrun lakum, wa yukaffiru ankum min sayyiatikum, and forgives some of your sins. You know, Allah bima ta'maluna khabir. Allah is all knowing of what you do. You know, so look at the difference between giving it in public, giving it in private, giving it with nobody knows about it except you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we mentioned, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the ummah to give the sadaqah in hiding, not to show it off. Rasul, and the hadith we mentioned, وَصَدَقَةُ السِّرِّ تُطْفِئُ غَضَبَ الرَّبِّ. And the charity, the act of charity, the sadaqah, that you do in hiding, in secret, nobody knows about it, you know, puts out the anger of the Lord. If you remember the hadith, سَبْعَةٌ يَضِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ, the hadith in Bukhari, سَبْعَةٌ يَضِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ, there are seven people under the, you know, the shade of the arsh for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. You know, seven categories of people. One of them is, وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. A man, a person, when you say a man in Arabic, it's always a woman, meaning a Muslim, a person, who remembers Allah Ta'ala خَالِيًا, خَالِيًا alone. There's nobody with him. فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. Then he teared, cried. You know, and another person, وَرَجُلٌ, and a man, تَصَدَّقَ بِيَمِينِهِ, تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا. So he gave a charity, we know, and giving it, gave it in secret. فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُ. And to the point where his left hand did not know what the right hand did. It's an exaggeration to show how nobody knows about what you are doing. You know, the sadaqah, is the best of it is the one that is done in secret. And of course, there is an impact on this, on the Day of Judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but even in the dunya. Do you remember the hadith of the three people who went into the cave? Rasulullah tells us about كَانَ فِي مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ كَانَ فِي مَنْ كَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. So some people who were before you, you know, three people who went into a cave. And then when they went into the cave, a rock, you know, rolled and closed the cave. And so each one, how did they come out? How did they leave the cave? They all did something that nobody knew that they did. One person said that I had my parents, you know, that I came one night from work and they wanted, you know, they were hungry. So I went and I milked, you know, the animal for them, some goat or something. And my kids were, very hungry, crying for food. But I waited because my parents were asleep, etc. So the kids went to sleep, the parents were asleep, and I waited with a cup in my hand until they woke up. And then I gave them first and then the other ones. And they said, I did not put anybody ahead of my parents. That is at night. So nobody is aware of what this man is doing. He did that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were asleep. I could have given the children. You know, nobody is watching. I could have drank, but no, he waited until they woke up and he gave them first. And the other one, about the man who had a cousin, and he said that I loved no woman like I loved my cousin. But she did not want me. And one day when she became poor, she really needed money. So she came to me asking for money. I said, yes, but then you will have to enable me to do fahisha wal'iyadu billah. You know, so she said, okay. He gave her the money. And then when she, you know, he was about to start, he remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stopped while able to. Stopped and kept her the money with her. And he said, you know, this is again, this is in secret. These things are not done in public. And they came closer and tried to get out of the situation that they were in because of the things that they did in secret. This was, by the way, the trend amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the people even after them, the Salaf. Why? Because they did not want riya, that the look that some people, you know, that I'm doing it for the people. Even if it is a share of what I do. You want everything to be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zubair bin Awam, it was reported that Zubair bin Awam from the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, you know, he said, مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ خِبٌّ مِنْ عَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ فَلْيَفْعَلْ خِبٌّ مِنْ عَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ فَلْيَفْعَلْ. Whoever can have a secret act of charity, you know, a secret act of charity, let them do that. So you can have, you don't have to tell people. If there is a widow woman, you know, who's supporting her children, send her, you know, monthly, even if it's $100, if it is $25, if it's $30, whatever it is. But it is somebody who is doing this, nobody knows. If a child whose parents are poor, you put him through school. And I know people who do this. They actually put people through college. Why? I can afford it. And they cannot afford it. And nobody knows that they're doing it. Nobody knows who they are helping or how they are helping. People who, you know, come and they all of a sudden they find, okay, this is a gift. And the gift is enough, really. It's not really a gift because of the size. Some people tell you, you know, an act of charity, giving a donation to a masjid, to an orphanage, you know, to a poor family, something or the other, you know, that you can do in secret and you can do it continuously. You know, supporting an Islamic project. You know, now they have projects for drilling wells, water wells in Africa, you know, because there is a scarcity of water. You know, if you contribute with that. And they are not expensive. They are $1,500, $2,000 a well. They're not expensive. But you can have it. It's not the whole thing. You can add it a little bit of time. You can contribute with other brothers, other sisters. You put them together. But it is all done in, you only know the people who know are the people who have to. You know, yes, in certain times with sadaqah, you know, sometimes it is encouraged to declare it, to show it. So for example, if we're donating for the masjid, so that I pay $100,000, you know, to encourage people to give that kind of money, to encourage people, you know, or 50,000, whatever it is. But in terms of encouragement, yes, but these are the exceptions to the rule. The rule, the general rule is that the best kind of sadaqah is the one that is done in secret. Ibrahim al-Harbi, as Imam al-Dhahabi reported from them, he said, كانوا يستحبون, about the salaf, about the predecessors, كانوا يستحبون يكون للرجل خبيئة من عمل صالح لا تعلم به زوجته ولا غيره. That the predecessors, they liked, now who's this, by the way, Ibrahim al-Harbi? Ibrahim al-Harbi is a sheikh, imam, hafid. He was named as Sheikh al-Islam, Abu Ishaq, you know, man of fiqh and hadith, etc. He said the predecessors, and he was, since he was born in the year 198, so you're talking about 200 years from the time of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the time of the Hijrah. So you're talking about the Tabi'een. He caught up with the Tabi'een with that class. But he is saying that the predecessors, you know, the life that for the person, for the man to have a hidden act of charity even his own wife does not know about. And since we're talking about wives and husbands, you can always give a sadaqah in the name of your spouse. You know, and you don't have to tell them. The sadaqah does not have to be $1 billion. It does not have to be, you know, it can be a $50, $25, but be consistent with it. It's in her name. It's in my name. It's, you know, in like that. It is for my children without anybody knowing about it. You know, let it be a surprise on the day of judgment. It doesn't have to be a surprise now. Let it be a surprise on the day of judgment. This can be done for each other. And this is how they embodied it. I mean, look at the story about Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. That if when he prayed al-Fajr, he went out to the desert. Abu Bakr Siddiq, after praying al-Fajr, he would go out to the desert. And he would stay for a while and then come back. Umar bin Khattab noticed. Well, what is he doing in the desert? You know? So one day he followed him. So he saw him entering into a tent and stayed there for a little bit of time, then came out and went back to Medina. So Umar went out, you know, once he left, he went to the tent to see what's in the tent. So he saw a blind woman with children. He said, "Who's this?" She said, "We don't know. It's just a Muslim man comes to visit us. He comes every day. So what does he do? He makes our door for us. He sweeps the floor for us. You know, he fixes the place for us and then he leaves. He brings food. He does, you know, takes care of what they need to take care of. And then they leave." Zain al-Abidin, the grandson of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Zain al-Abidin is Ali ibn al-Husayn bin Ali bin Abi Talib. So Zain al-Abidin, rahimahullah, you know, he used to carry the flour bags, sacks of flour on his back at night, taking it to the houses of orphans and the widows, you know, and the poor, without seeking the help of a servant, without getting a servant or somebody to come help him with him, so that nobody would know that he's doing it. And nobody knew that he was doing it until he died. When he died and they were washing him, his back was bruised from the bags that he was carrying on his back. They said this is the back of a, you know, the those people who carry on their backs. Okay. And once he died, 100 households, you know, stopped receiving food. And they knew it was because of that. That's how they found out about it. That's what I'm saying. It's an action between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody knows about it. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along just these lines, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith in Muslim, says, "Inna Allah yuhibbu al-abda taqiyyan naqiyyan khafiyyan." Allah ta'ala likes the servant, the slave, who has the taqwa, the piety, who is pure, naqi, you know, meaning clean intention, clean heart, al-khafiy, the one who is not out there to be watched, to be seen. Khafi, you come to the masjid, you pray, and you leave. You know, you do your righteous deed, you know, and you leave. You are not there to be known, to be famous amongst them. You know, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the abd who is taqi, who is naqi, and who is khafi. Bishr bin al-Harith, who was an imam, alim, hadith, as Imam al-Dhahabi said about him. You know, so he was born in the year 152. He said, "La yajhu halawat al-akhirati rajulun yuhibbu fi dunya an ya'rifahu an-nas." Nobody will see the sweetness of the akhirah. Nobody will experience the sweetness of the akhirah, the sweetness of iman, you know, if they like the dunya, in the dunya to be known by the people. Meaning, if I donate, I want everybody to know, look, this person just donated. If I prayed, look, mashallah, you know, he prayed this. If he recites the Quran, I want to be known that I recite very well. If I do the, you know, like that. The person like that, according to Bishr bin Harith, he said that a person like that will not find the sweetness of the Akhirah. You know, Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, he said, "إن كان الرجل لا يجلس المجلس فتجيئه عبرته فيردها فإذا خشي أن تسبقه قام." The person would be sitting in a sitting of dhikr, like we're sitting now, we're talking. So a person is about to, you know, feels like they're about to cry, you know? So he tries to control himself. But if he feels that he cannot control himself, he gets out of the city, you know, the meeting. Why? You know, so that nobody sees it. And by that, you know, you don't, if you wish, don't pollute that you're crying. So the people will say that you are crying. The people, you will say that, oh, this person is a good Muslim. He was crying when he heard such and such and such. Abdullah bin Mubarak, whenever he went to go to jihad, he used to cover his face. He would not show his face. And he was a very good fighter. You know, why? So that nobody would know him. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, مَا رَفَعَ اللَّهُ ابْنَ الْمُبَارَكِ إِلَّا بِخَبِيئَةٍ كَانَتْ لَهُ. Allah Ta'ala only elevated and exalted Abdullah bin Mubarak, but for something that he used to do in secret, meaning a good act of charity that he was doing in secret, whether it's a ibadah, or whether it is a sadaqah, whatever it is, but it was done in secret. Meaning Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and this is something that, by the way, يعني many of the ulama talked about it. You take care of your insight, your intention, your heart, your sincerity to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala will take care of the exterior stuff for you. Because if you are sincere to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and you have the ikhlas, Allah Ta'ala will love you. And when He loves you, He'll tell the angels that I love Him, love my servant. And then the angels will tell the people, you know, until it reaches all the people on earth that love this person, he is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala will put the love for that person. In other words, if that is the way what you want, if that, you know, that if you make yourself sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the natural byproduct of it is that the people will like it. You don't intend it. You don't go after it. That becomes that's the pollution of the sincerity. But if you do it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala rewards you with that. You know, there is a man called Dinar bin Adhafir. His nickname is Abu Hind. He's Imam, Hafiz, Thiqa, you know. He fasted 40 years. 40 years he was fasting. And nobody knew he was fasting. So in the morning, his wife would fix him food. And he's going to the shop to work. He will take the food with him. So now she thinks that he's taking the food to go eat in the market, in the shop. On the way, he would donate it to the poor. He would go to the shop, and the people of the other shops around him, they think that he ate at home. You know, why are you not eating? Not because I'm not fasting. They think that he ate at home. And the people at home think that he's eating in the market. So he would go, actually would have the iftar with his family when he goes home, without anybody. That is the, when we talk about make it a relationship between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that no one knows about it but him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, it has benefits and it has fruits. The person who is able to do this continuously, it demonstrates a sign of iman, a sign of sincerity. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give a person that tawfiq, that ability to worship him subhanahu wa ta'ala in private, for night after night, day after day, action after action, etc. When the person is, his heart is not pure. It is a sign of the purity of the heart. Remember the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, when he asked the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa about Islam and Iman and Ihsan. So when he said about Ihsan, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم يكن يراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراه. To worship Allah as if He sees you. And if you don't see Him, as if you see Him. And if you don't see Him, He sees you. You know, that is when you are always watching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you do things in private because you believe that He is seeing. It's not a matter of the people, it's a matter of that He sees you. The second fruit or the second thing that results from this such kind of actions is to be firm whenever there are calamities, there are tests, there are problems. Because the ibadah in secret is the biggest reasons, the biggest helpers in being firm and not being afraid when something bad happens. Okay, Ibn Qayyim said, الذنوب الخفيات أسباب الانتكاسات وعبادة الخفاء أصل الثبات. That the hidden sins, because the opposite of what we're talking about, is that now in front of the people, it's Allah, Muhammad, Allahu Akbar, you know, Jannah, Jahannam, this, that. But now once, you know, I'm by myself, it's a different story, and I start sinning and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim said, الذنوب الخفيات, the hidden sins, أسباب الانتكاسات, they are the causes of decline, of being, you know, going down. وعبادة الخفاء, and the worship in secret, أصل الثبات, it is the foundation for being firm, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firms the hearts of the believers. It takes you away from riya, from the showing off. When you get yourself used to doing this in secret, that it is, you know, you hide away from the people and you do things only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man came to Hudhayfah bin Yaman radiallahu anhu. Hudhayfah bin Yaman, by the way, Rasulullah sallam gave him the names of the hypocrites at that time. If you remember, Umar bin Khattab used to come to Abu Fatah, came to Hudhayfah bin Yaman. He said, you know, is my name one of them? Am I one of the hypocrites? You know, that's how watchful of himself he was, alayhi Allah. So a man came to Hudhayfah bin Yaman, he said, Hal ana min al-munafiqin? Am I amongst the hypocrites? Look at what the response of Hudhayfah bin Yaman. Hudhayfah bin Yaman did not go pull up the list and say, let me see if your name is on it or not. Hudhayfah bin Yaman said, أتصلي إذا خلوت? Do you pray by yourself when you are alone? وتستغفر إذا أذنبت? And you ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness if you sin? The man said, yes. قال اذهب فما جعلك الله لك. Then go, you're not a hypocrite. Again, what made the person not a munafiq? That doing things in what? In secret. You pray by yourself. You ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness if you sin. You know that these are not the attributes of the munafiqeen. And listen to the ayah in Surah An-Nisa. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُونَ. The disbeliever, the munafiqeen, excuse me, the hypocrites, are trying to deceive Allah, and He will deceive them. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. And if they get up to pray, they get up with laziness. يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ. They're showing up in front of the people. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And they do not mention Allah Ta'ala but little. So their signs, the sign of hypocrisy, and that's why Abu Hudayfah ibn Yaman asked him about these signs. Do you do things in front of the people only, and do you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you sin, you disobey Him. ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ اللَّهِ. If you sin, immediately you remember Allah Ta'ala and you ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. So these are not the signs of the munafiqeen, these are the signs of the believers.
The man accused
of, and whoever complains, you know, whoever suffers, if you wish, from riya, from this showing up in front of the people, it's because their ibadah in secret is little. The ones that who suffer from this, it's because their ibadah in secret is little. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من استطاع منكم أن يكون له خطأ من عمل صالح فليفعل. That whoever of you can have something that's hidden of righteous deeds, let them do so. And the last thing, you know, just so that I, you know, it's more reward and more impactful is when you do things without people knowing about them. You know, if you remember the ayah about the sabaqat, in tubtu sabaqat, if any of the when to fuha wa do wa to tuha kufara'a, bahwa khayrana. You show the sadaqat, the acts of charity, then it is fine. You know, but if you hide it and you give it to the poor, it is better for you. And even the prayer at night, inna nashi'at al-layli hiya ashaddu waqan wa aqwa mutila. you know, that the prayer at night is more impactful and more more rewarding.
And it's like the fact that the GOP waived debt ceiling is in trouble. Three times.
Ibn al-Jawzi mentioned that, and this is in Sayyid al-Khabar, he said that this is the person would hide the act of obedience. You do things, you do a righteous deed in hiding, in secret, nobody knows about you, but it will appear. It will become apparent on you, and the people will talk about it, and more than what you've done. To the point where they do not cannot think of a, and look at how the reward Allah Ta'ala gives to the person. To the point where they see no fault in you. They see no fault in you. And they only mention you with good things. So that the person would know that the Allah Subh'anaHu Wa Ta'ala لا يضيع عمل عامل منكم من ذكر الأنثى. Allah Ta'ala does not waste any of the actions that you do. And that the hearts of the people know the situation of the people and they like him, or they rebel, you know, they repulse him, or they get away from him. But whoever fixes what's between him and Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will fix what's between him and him. And whoever worries about the people, Allah Ta'ala will make him always worried about them.
Only 24% of the
just one thing that if we're talking about the secret acts of worship, etc., the better acts of worship, not all acts of worship are the same. So, salah, two rak'ah, now it is a good action, good deed, you know, good work. But helping a person in need has more reward, you know. Helping a family in need, better than, let's say, giving to, you know, for something that is, to spend to buy something that's not needed. To help somebody in need, to be there for somebody who's in trouble, who's in debt, who's not able to pay the rent, an old man who's not able to manage their expenses, etc. Always the ibadah that where you help others is better than the ibadah that only benefits you. Because the one who is doing the ibadah to benefit others and you benefit yourself. But the ibadah that only benefits you. So it's always be, you know, in the help of others and try not to ask others for help. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, if something, let's say, fell down, he would not say to somebody, give it to me. He would go down and pick it up. You know, so that always, you know, ask Allah Ta'ala for help. Be there always to help others, but don't ask them for help. It is better not to ask them for help. You know. And finally, as I said, do all of this, and just to emphasize the point, that we do this without people knowing who you're helping, how you're helping, that you're helping. Because as the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Inna Allah yuhibbu al-abd al-taqiyya al-ghaniyya. Allah Ta'ala likes the abd, the servant, the slave of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, who has taqwa, who is al-ghani, does not need, you know, others, and al-khafi, you know, that who does things in secret. And this is just really a reminder for yourselves and myself. And that Allah Ta'ala always help us, inshallah ta'ala, to do things with pure sincerity and always watching ourselves, always watching, but why are we doing the things we do? Why we pray the way we pray? Why we attend jama'ah? Why we give it, you know, charity? Why that always it's for the sake of Allah Ta'ala? The Muslim is the one who's always constantly watching themselves and watching the reason why they are doing what they do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who love to worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that He wants, only seeking His pleasure. Inshallah ta'ala, next week we will continue from, or we will resume from the Hijra of Al-Habasha, the first Hijra of Al-Habasha, because there were two, the first Hijra of Al-Habasha, and we'll see some of the things that the Sahaba went through and some of the situations that they're there, and hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, we'll get it to some of them.
Managed to jump 5% in